Dinosaurs are pretty weird, aren't they? Yet somehow they've managed to capture the heart of both paleontologists and children alike. What makes them so fascinating? And what playground dinosaur rumors were actually true? You'll find out today in this very special Let's Talk episode on dinosaurs. Run the intro. Welcome, guys, to another episode of the Odd Topic Podcast. Not only is this the first Let's Talk episode of the season, but we are also running a bit of a trial episode of sorts, where Brett and I are actually not sitting around the famed Odd Topic table, but are actually recording in our own separate homes. Truthfully, it's because of a bit of a COVID situation more than anything else, but this might be something we do a bit more frequently going forward, you know, because of the whole Luke having kids thing.
We'll call them baby sessions.
Baby sessions, yeah. So anyway, let's just get right into it. For those who are new, and there are a decent amount of you actually, a Let's Talk episode is, I guess, pretty self-explanatory, but it's when we don't follow along with a specific script, but instead have a few more casual talking points, often a more opinion-based and conversational episode than usual. Now, I did struggle a little bit with deciding whether or not to make this a Let's Talk, because dinosaurs are kind of easily something we could have proper scripts on. But I'm in the mood for something a bit more casual and chatty.
To start off as like a, you know, a blanket type topic, I think it's a pretty good one for Let's Talk.
Yeah, definitely, man, definitely. I mean, I've got a lot of very interesting things to say about dinosaurs, I suppose. There's a lot of content here on dinosaurs. And I think, look, again, with it being a Let's Talk, I didn't go super in depth. I don't know how much you did.
No, not at all.
I wanted to talk a bit less about dinosaurs themselves, like their different types and your periods, and just more about the idea of dinosaurs, yeah. If you know what I mean.
Well, let's start off this way. Were you like a super big dinosaur fan when you were a kid?
No.
Really?
I wasn't, but surprisingly not. I did kind of become one a little bit when a lot of my friends started getting into it.
Okay.
But I was very much, I'd rather just like draw my own pictures and stuff of make-believe things. I never really got into the craze. The first big craze I ever got into was Pokemon.
Okay. So not quite dinosaurs, but definitely creatures that don't exist.
No. Look, I think a lot of my dinosaur energy went towards Lego as well. So as soon as I could do anything, I was playing with Lego and I was building all of these magical worlds and stuff, you know. And I think I was, I don't know, maybe I've got a bit of a addictive personality, but I was like honed in hard on Lego. And then I jumped from the Lego boat and went right to Pokemon. Okay. And everything was just Pokemon. I'm like the classic case of the kid whose parents go to church and worry because their son's addicted to this thing, so they think it's evil. Like, that's how much of an addict I was to like Pokemon off the Lego.
That's so hectic.
Still am to this day a little bit.
Because it's quite interesting, like you brought up the fact that kids are super obsessed with dinosaurs. I mean, it's not all of them, but it's definitely a common trait.
So this actually leads me to the very first talking point, which is why are dinosaurs the hugest things in kids' lives? You know, like what is worth the dinosaur obsession? So a couple of things brought this to mind. Firstly, I thought about this because a very close mutual friend of ours has two boys who just love dinosaurs. And I went to his house a few weeks back and the one kid spent the whole time walking around like he was some kind of T-Rex, you know, just roaring at everything. Yeah. And then with my kids on the way, we've obviously got some like cute baby clothes, you know, and bibs and whatever, especially for the boy. And it's actually crazy how much kid material is geared towards children. So we have this onesie that's got this really cute Velociraptor on it, you know, and it goes, "I'm a roarable," and it just melts my heart. So
it's funny how they can take like such a terrifying creature and make it just, you know, so pocket sized.
And they all have these big cute eyes, you know, like and the teeth all like rounded off. There's no like sharp
edges. My little nephew has a borderline obsession, if you want to call it that. He will not step foot out of the house if every item of clothing doesn't have a dinosaur on it. Like I'm talking about down to the socks and underpants. It's next level. It's so funny.
It's so weird. It's like almost forced down kids' throats. It's like you will love dinosaurs.
In all fairness, like, some of them just take this on their own level.
I mean, the girls get the unicorns and stuff, you know, but the boys are like straight up sharp teeth and claws and giant fighting lizards. Super cool.
I think they were trying to do tests at some point because they kept saying that girls only like unicorns and pixies and fairies and all of that because like that's what
shopping
gears them for that. And boys only like dinosaurs and Power Rangers because of this. And then I think there was a group of parents who raised their kid completely neutral. Like they did not tell their kid what they were in gender wise. And they never, I think every black pair of clothing was like a neutral color. And it was funny. The kid still veered towards like the boy things. It was a young boy, but actually veered towards the, like the dinosaurs and the army clothing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's got that built in, this is terrifying, makes me feel manly type thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. So, I mean, we're touching on a dodgy subject now, if the internet is to be believed, with the whole gender fluidity and whatever. But it is, I think there's a, you know, boys have more testosterone and whatnot. And I think it's got a bit more of that aggressive and exciting nature. But funnily enough, though, I found anyway, and what my wife tells me as well is like at the school and stuff where she teaches, a lot of the times the boy kids actually gravitate towards dolls as well. They will actually have a fascination with Barbies. Some don't want to approach them because they're already thinking it's, you know, it's for girls. Yeah. So they don't want to go to them. But when they do, they actually like playing with them. And a lot of it's because of the whole motherly figure. Okay. Little boys love their moms. Well, this is what people theorize anyway. Like little boys love their moms. So they actually are more, I don't know, lean towards motherly figures and woman figures than anything else.
Makes sense.
I don't know. Yep. Anyway, let's go back to dinosaurs. So I was actually thinking, like, what if this is some kind of conspiracy theory?
Okay. You know?
Like, what if the World Association of Paleontologists was like, okay, guys, nobody cares about dinosaurs anymore. Museums are going out of fashion and our donations are running dry. So they decided to like rebrand and change the dinosaur target market. You know? These kids are going to sell our products, get us some more money and fund our research.
We need more funding. What way can we do that? You know, shirts for kids.
I mean, it kind of works, eh? For the longest time, a really good friend of mine who I mentioned earlier, so he was really into dinosaurs. He, like next level, he wanted to be a paleontologist. He's probably, his parents bought him books and books of dinosaurs, and he always got those like little toys where you would basically a block of cement with like a plastic dinosaur inside, and you had to like chisel it out. I don't know if you remember.
I had one, but it was made out
They're
of...
actually really, really
I had
cool.
one of those, but it was made out of Plaster Paris.
Oh, maybe it was that, dude. It's concrete in my head. I don't know.
Concrete is making it a little more difficult. Super soft.
Yeah, no, in fact, stupid, Luke. That's a stupid thing to say.
Hey, I mean, I'm pretty sure paleontologists have had to do worse in their lives.
So I also did a bit of a quick search on this to see if there's some more info about, you know, why boys love dinosaurs or kids love dinosaurs. And to be honest, not much came up. There's really no easy answer. But what I did find is that apparently kids that are obsessed with dinosaurs are typically more well-developed than other kids that aren't. So it's linked to like a better attention span and sort of information processing skills and therefore a higher intelligence at a younger age.
I can imagine that. Because, I mean, if you think about it and using my nephew as kind of a gauge, he can say more words about dinosaurs than he can other words that are probably of more importance.
Like exactly.
He can say triceratops but get him to say anything like of worth in the English language and he's like, huh?
Yeah. I mean, if it makes him smarter, you know, tell me about that Pachycephalosaurus for the 100th time, dude. I'm keen.
Yeah. Go for it. How many horns does a triceratops have? It's like, okay, he said 5, but I mean, he at least, you know,
it's kind of in the name.
Got there. Wow. Yeah.
He was close. Yeah. It is like that. I think especially for attention span wise, it's the same as what I was saying with like me and Pokemon. When something grabs you and fixates, like all your... I was remembering stuff about Pokemon and their names, obviously, and then the cries, and then in the video game, their movesets and stuff like that. I still remember that stuff to this day.
Oh, really?
Okay. It is in my head. It's the same as a teenager when I would listen to like angsty teenage music and... The lyrics to those songs are in my head. I hear that song, can say it line by line backwards in my sleep. Like it is in there. Give me something to learn now and I will forget it in a matter of minutes.
Without a doubt. Like learning things when you're a kid, your cognitive ability is light years ahead of what you are now. That's why they also say that languages in kids, it's the same. And that kind of brings back to the different words and the names and stuff like that. You kind of latch onto that and you go for it. Man, What I'll do to be a kid again, just to learn things that I need to learn now. Like, I want to learn another language. I need to learn one now.
This sort of makes sense as to why some schools, I think more so in Asia, like are actually quite advanced in terms of education. I think it's like they really push as far as they can with the young kids because kids actually have the ability to absorb all that information.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt.
It's like these kids are literal sponges. Let's not end with a normal, you know, 7 to 2 kind of day. Let's shove as much info, let them rest later. And then they never rest and they get depressed and their suicide rates are crazy high, but let's not think about that right now, I guess.
We took another right turn.
Well, let's move on to the next talking point, I suppose, before we go too deep down that road.
Before we go into the next talking point.
Yeah.
One thing I did read as well, and I don't know, it kind of does explain to me why I had a fascination with dinosaurs. And I think it has some sort of link to a lot of the other creatures we have. I mean, you've got lions, tigers, leopards, whatever you want to call it. You can see them in zoos and they're cool and all, and there's no real thing to it. But I think there's something within that fact of like this prehistoric creature that used to exist. It doesn't now. And like the amount of information and all of that, it definitely has something to it. And it definitely like drives that curiosity.
Definitely.
Which to me is really interesting.
Yeah, it's that unknown creature.
Exactly. It's that unknown creature where you can't go and see it now. Like that's not a thing. You have to get every source of information that you can just to learn about it and to read about it.
Yes.
And I think, I don't know, maybe kids find that fascinating. Clearly they do to some point.
It's a very good point because where's the obsession with elephants and zebras? Exactly. You know, they're like, nah, screw those things. Here's mega lizards that don't exist.
I saw like 10 elephants when I drove past that other place at the time. So who cares? You've seen a dinosaur.
And there's always that mystique about it, you know, like maybe I'll find a dinosaur. I'll go digging and I'll find a rare fossil.
Yeah. Speaking of fossils, did you hear about that fossil that was sold at Christie's auctions for like $12 million?
No.
It happened 2-3 days ago. It was a Deinonychus. It wasn't a full skeleton. It was a partial fossil skeleton with the rest was kind of reconstructed. Its name was Hector, and it's one of two of those breeds that exist in fossil form. It only has 126 of its like real bones, and it sold for $12.4 million. That's about 195 million rand. That's ridiculous.
What is that person going to do with it?
What every person would do with it? Put it in your entrance and show people.
Suspend it from the ceiling.
So paleontologists are pretty bleak about this, purely from the fact of museums now no longer have the means of getting these skeletons because people are just buying them.
Yeah, people are just too rich.
I mean, how is a museum supposed to compete with that? You can't.
Yeah, especially if it relies on like people's donations.
Exactly. So do you know the Deinonychus?
No, but I will Google it. I know the Deinotruchus, bro. I don't know if it's the same thing.
I don't know. Maybe it is the same thing.
No, so I've got the Deinosuchus, which I'm pronouncing as Deinosuchus.
Okay.
Which is like the crocodile.
Oh, no. So this one over here is actually what they used as the model for the velociraptors in Jurassic Park. So a real-life velociraptor is kind of only as high as about your knee. Then there is another raptor that's a bit taller. And then there's the... The Deinonychus is about your hip height. And then they kind of just wanted it a bit bigger for Jurassic Park and they made them about human eye height. But everyone, like, it's a known thing that they use the Deinonychus as the model for the Velociraptor. They're both raptors, but it's not the same as a Velociraptor.
Okay. And they both have that toe that goes
correct.
Up like
all
that.
Raptors have that toe, that claw.
Oh, I just thought it was Velociraptors and then now the Deinonychus or however you say.
Deinonychus. It took me a while to eventually get that word flow.
All right, so then the next talking point, just about the dinosaur rumors, you know, and the weirdness of fossils. It comes as no surprise, really, that paleontologists and historians and the like can make mistakes. When everything is based on ancient records and pieces of bone buried in the sand, it's really, really easy to misinterpret the facts and to apply theories on top of things that might not be true. Just ideas based on some educated guesses, and it's the same with fossils.
Yeah.
So I think the most famous example of people getting, you know, the idea that they have of dinosaurs wrong is that whole T-Rex fiasco, right?
Oh, I was thinking more of the Brontosaurus fiasco.
Okay, I don't know that one, I think, so we'll get to that.
I'm going to tell you just now.
the T-Rex one, dude. Like, Jurassic Park made us believe that the T-Rex was some apex predator.
Oh, yeah.
You know? When you actually take its design into consideration and sort of what we now know about animals, it actually suits more of a scavenger type of carnivore. So I don't know how much you are going to get into this sort of thing.
No, nothing at all.
You know, the T-Rex was sort of built to, it looks like it attacks these triceratopses and brontosauruses and whatnot. But its whole body is like built really dumb and in such a way that like with its tiny arms and stuff, it can't really do anything. Yeah. All it can do is like pick off the ground. So its whole thing was, well, actually it's a scavenger. It's almost the vulture of dinosaurs.
Oh, hectic. Even size-wise, it's nowhere close to being what a Spinosaurus is. So who was at the top of that food chain? I mean, were they even in the same period?
No, yeah, that's the thing. I think a Spinosaurus was in a different period. But look, I don't want to speak out of turn because, again, I'm obviously not a paleontologist, but it is just theories at this point about the scavenger and the predator thing. A lot of schools of thought still say, no, the T-Rex is definitely a predator because its bite is way stronger than what is necessary for a scavenger. Because a scavenger would already prey on other animals' kills. So there's a bit of a misnomer here. But the point I'm trying to get at is that we are still basing all of this on guesses.
Yes.
And there's no other way to do it. It's educated guesses, but it's still guesswork.
Yeah.
You know,
I think Jurassic Park does throw us off a lot because a lot of people take the movie or all of the movies as fact. And they really aren't.
It's also Jurassic Park, but a lot of the creatures are not from the Jurassic period.
No. Yeah. I think T-Rex is one of the few that were... No, that wasn't... That was a period afterwards. That, yeah, T-Rex wasn't even Jurassic.
I don't even know.
Who knows? We're not going into periods in this one.
We have something open. So I saw a really cool, thought-provoking picture the other day. Based on fossils, right, we get different theories about what the dinosaurs used to look like. But there are some flaws in this. So firstly, we don't really get skin remains because it doesn't fossilize easily. No. So we actually don't know what the colors of the dinosaurs are. We always get these depictions of these big orange and red dinosaurs. But I mean, in reality, they're probably some shade of green or brown for camouflage.
Probably, yeah. I mean, let's not even get into the whole feather thing.
Yeah, exactly. So some dinosaurs we know have feathers because of what they're fossilized in. And you can kind of see the feathers, outlines of feathers and stuff.
Yeah.
But not all. So actually, a lot of them could have had feathers, especially if you look at birds. We all know at this point that birds are evolved from most dinosaurs, like raptors. And so if they had feathers, it's a good chance dinosaurs had feathers.
Well,
at least in some form.
Yeah, good point. They say that one of the few remaining dinosaurs that kind of survived the extinction were of the theropod genus, which is like your three-toed animals, which includes chickens. And T-Rex was a part of that.
Yeah, they say the closest living thing to T-Rex is a chicken.
Yeah, I know.
So that's pretty weird.
It's quite funny. I was reading, sorry, I bring up my nephew again, but I was reading one of the books that he'd got, and every dinosaur in the book had feathers. And I was like, when was this thing published? Yeah. Like, look back, like, last year. Cool.
Yeah. There's definitely been a movement towards the feathers.
Yeah, people are leaning into it hard.
So also, obviously, fatty tissue and cartilage don't really fossilize either. And these all play, obviously, a major role in the shapes of our bodies and our faces, right? I mean, think about it. If aliens came to Earth and there weren't any more humans and our skeletons were all that remained and they wanted to use that as a basis for what we might have looked like, they'd think that we all had these like weird concave flat noses and holes in the sides of our heads instead of ears.
And we'd all be skinny as hell.
They might not know we had lips.
Yeah.
And imagine if we didn't have lips just baring our teeth the whole time.
Freaky. Yeah, we'd look just as scary.
I saw a picture, as I was saying earlier. It's like an artist's rendition of what paleontologists may have assumed a hippo and a baboon and I think it was a heron to look like if we based them solely on their fossilized remains. It's a very cool picture. I will try and find it and we can put it on the Instagram. Yeah. But it's really, really weird, especially the hippo. So the hippo is so frighteningly different to what they actually look like. It's almost like out of a nightmare. The skull of a hippo has these massive teeth. So we know hippos have big teeth, but we're not used to it because it's always covered by those fat and cute looking like faces and lips, you know?
Yeah.
But the hippo's skull is so weird. It looks like something out of a nightmare. It's horror movie level stuff. You really have to see it. And the way that they've like drawn the skin to be on the skull makes it look like this insanely muscular, beefy monster. Meanwhile, okay, yeah, they're still pretty vicious, but...
I just found it now.
Is it?
It's so freaky. It looks like one of those, like, it's devil cool, dogs eh? Or whatever from...
Yeah, yeah. It reminded me of... What's that movie? Annihilation.
Yeah.
With that
creature. The weird bear thing.
Yeah, yeah. That was definitely more of a bear, but it had that skull-like face. Yeah. I was like, okay.
And then you look at a real picture of a hippo and you're like, man...
Yeah, I mean, there's no conceivable way that we'd ever actually know what a hippo looked like if we based it on its fossils.
Yeah, no, I agree.
There's just no way. So as much as people are taking educated guesses, and if there are any paleontologists listening, some of the stuff we've said now might sound really stupid, but it is like we don't actually know anything.
No, we really don't.
Unless, and there are some cases of it, I'm sure, but unless we have like a proper frozen or stuck in amber type of fossil... There's a lot of things that we can not really make sense of that we just assume look a certain way.
Well, I mean, I mentioned earlier, I thought you were going to bring up the Brontosaurus.
Yes, the Brontosaurus.
So technically the Brontosaurus doesn't exist. There is no dinosaur called a Brontosaurus.
Really?
It was basically this weird war called Bone Wars. I mean, head back to our episode on Burger Wars. We're really going with the theme here. So Bone Wars was basically between these two professors of paleontology. One was Nathaniel Charles Marsh from Yale, and the second was Edward Drinker Cope of Philadelphia. So basically these two guys were on this severe mission to try and be the first to find new species and publish them. That was, I think, the goal at that point. I mean, this is early 1800s, 1877 around about. And what had happened was Marsh had discovered the partial skeleton of this long-necked, long-tailed dinosaur, which he had dubbed the Patasaurus, but it was missing its skull. So when he eventually published it and reconstructed it, he used the head of a different dinosaur. It was still called an Apatosaurus, but it was a different dinosaur. 2 years later, Cope had then found another skeleton, which he had then put together, and he said it was completely different, and he called it the Brontosaurus. Only in 1903, scientists actually stopped and looked at it and said, hang on, you guys actually have the exact same skeletons. Only difference being is the first one has a different skull and the new one has a proper skull. Swap the skulls around and you basically have the two dinosaurs you guys started with years ago. There is no separate dinosaur called the Brontosaurus. So obviously... We've all known about the Brontosaurus. I mean, it was in Jurassic Park. It's been in books. Every kid knows that long-necked, leaf-eating dinosaur is called the Brontosaurus. And purely because I think just the name and its media coverage, we've been going with it, even though it actually doesn't exist. It's the same as...
That's insane. I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. I mean, same as a pterodactyl. Apparently, according to scientists, pterodactyls themselves actually don't exist. There's a whole... bunch of terra bird-like dinosaurs, which aren't really dinosaurs, but your kind of pterodactyl, your flying thing wasn't really, they were more like bats and kind of glided around. It's really weird and it gets really, I don't know, competition's thick. But the Brontosaurus was, and I think it actually came up, I think late 1900s, early 2000s, where everyone was saying, we really need to stop talking about Brontosauruses because they don't exist.
It's so funny because that is like one of the staple dinosaurs. Yes. You know, it's T-Rex, Triceratops, Brontosaurus, and Stegosaurus.
I guess so. Damn scientists, man, just messing with our brains. I think they should just rename the Apatosaurus to Brontosaurus and be done with it.
Yeah. at this point, pretty much. It's too far gone now.
So earlier, funny enough, you brought up the whole fact of the T-Rex and the chicken, the closest... living thing to a T-Rex is a chicken or whatever.
I don't know how true that is. I'm just remembering something I saw online.
Yeah, so I think this might have something to do with that. Apparently back in the day, when I say back in the day, this was literally 1999, there was an image published of a dinosaur fossil in a rock, and they called it an Archaeoraptor. And it basically was a dinosaur body, but you could see characteristics of a chicken in it. So everyone kind of went crazy and they're like, we found the missing link between birds and dinosaurs. Like, this is the evolutionary thing. It's this chicken lizard or whatever. And it turns out it was just some Chinese guy who he just wanted a bit of fame. So he literally fabricated this chicken dinosaur thing. And yeah, it said he had discovered it. It was all over newspapers. It was everywhere. Completely fake. Completely fake. So what, at the end of the day, what do we even know? Are the paleontologists even telling us the real thing? Or are they just swapping out different skulls and saying, that's a new dinosaur?
Yeah, that's really weird. I mean, we are so quick to just believe the things we see on the internet, I suppose. Especially the dinosaurs, because again, no one knows anything. So there's always like, I don't know, so much fake nonsense going around, I suppose. Maybe that's why it's gone to the kids. Maybe like no one takes paleontology seriously anymore. So like, throw it to the kids. Yeah. They'll make some use out of it.
They'll believe us. But I mean, we actually have, I mean, it's on the road to Grahamstown, a pretty big fossil like area here.
Yeah, we do.
I mean, you and I went away and we saw that random sign up in that guy's bar with the dinosaur that was discovered here.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know.
That was really cool,
we got actually. Cool things.
You always think, you know, it's happening somewhere else. It's all over the world, there are fossils everywhere. It's like that Nautilus, which is still exists to this day, and you always see fossils of it, and I think they're called ammonites or something. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe that's a Pokemon. But those cool like shells, and you always see them like within fossils. Meanwhile, those creatures actually still exist to this day. Yeah. Nautiluses are found; they're incredibly rare, but they are found in the sea, and they look very, very cool.
So cool.
And again, the coelacanth, the living fossil coming back to life. So it's pretty cool when we have those sort of things.
So we're going to bring coelacanth back time and time again.
every episode is a coelacanth
will
episode.
Fit into something about a coelacanth.
Well, it's from our hometown, so...
Owning it, bro.
It's like the only claim to fame in cryptid-wise we have. Well, that's it, guys. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed this Let's Talk episode. I always have a great time doing these things, and as you can tell, very nice and relaxed and fun. That was fun, Brett. Dinosaurs are cool, man.
I know, and we could speak so much more about them.
Yeah, look, there's obviously tons. You could actually have episodes dedicated to each individual dinosaur and how they were discovered and... Yada, yada, yada. But whatever, I don't think we want to bore everybody with dinosaurs. Not everybody is as keen on them as maybe we are. Maybe we'll have the Otopic Dinosaur Podcast. show.
The Otosaur.
If you like this episode, you know what to do. But if you don't, Brett.
As usual, you can follow us on all major social media platforms at Otopic Podcast. Also find us on our website, otopicpodcast.com, where you can also email us. community@otopicpodcast.com. If you want to get a hold of us, if you have any cool dino stories, let us know.
So until next time, guys, stay fresh.
Stay freaky.
Bye.